Good morning. Great to see everybody this morning. Hope you're filled up and if you're one of those that tends to go to sleep once you've eaten, if you just tell the person behind you to, you know, elbow you along the way, that'd be really helpful. So we're talking about fight right. I happen to be an expert in this area. I grew up with four brothers, and so I'm experienced with that. I got married, so that makes me an expert in it. I have four children. A boy and three girls along the way. I can't help this. This isn't part of the message, but I wasn't going to do it, but I can't help it. So today at 1 o'clock, if you would tune in on YouTube, look up rock climbing, USA rock climbing, and then Group D girls. My granddaughter is one of the 10 best rock climbers in the nation. And we're hoping that by 2 o'clock, she is the best rock climber in the nation. And so I've got all of those experiences along with fighting. And I have also have a lot of experience with anger. Growing up, I was told numerous times, it would come home on my report card numerous times, that if this kid doesn't get his temper under control, he is, and one of them was, he's going to spend his life in jail. That was my life. That's who I was. I was always mad, and so I was fighting a lot. So you may say, no, I don't have a problem with fighting. The whole foundation of this message is you already fight. You already fight. So why don't you learn to fight right? And you say, no, I don't fight. Well, that might be true. You may have become roommates with your spouse. In other words, you've signed contracts, you've got this all worked out, and you don't talk to each other anymore. And so, therefore, you don't fight. Or you may, in your home with your children, you may have figured out a way to silence your child, or your child's figured out a way to silence you, so you don't fight anymore. That might be true, but that's because you're just simmering. That's because you're going through life without really connecting with each other. And our goal in this series is to help you not to stop fighting, but to make it so it's not a cyclical fight, or make it so that you don't. And another huge thing for people is, I don't fight. I just put them on my blacklist. And then I don't talk to them ever again. I don't interact with them anymore. They're on my blacklist. They're out. That's not where we want to hint, where we want to end up or head to. And that's what we're going to talk about in this series. And so as we do, we're going to, our foundational message or our foundational verse for this series is this: be angry and yet do not sin. Be angry and yet do not sin. So first and foremost, anger is not the problem. Getting angry at the beginning is not specifically the problem. You oftentimes react in anger and then the Bible says, what do you do with it? What do you do with it after that happens? It's amazing the power of anger. And so we're going to take a little bit and take a look at what anger feels like, what it feels like. So the first thing that feels like is a blanket. When we get angry, the truth is, it just feels good. It feels so good to be mad at that person. You feel so good. You're actually comforted by the anger. What are you talking about? No, I'm not talking about the blow up. I'm talking about after the blow up, or maybe before the blow up. When in your mind, you're going over and over the story again and again and again. And in that story, in that interaction with that person, you say things that are so hurtful, you win. You go over that thing and it's so hurtful, you win. Or you're going to tell your friends about it. You love to get together and tell your friends about it and how angry you are. And what do? They just wrap that blanket around you. You poor thing. Oh, you poor, poor thing. I feel so sorry for you. It feels like a blanket. It also feels like a hammer. This is what I like. This is what I grew up like. And people would say, you got an anger problem. I said, yeah, I don't want to be angry. I loved being angry. You know why? I controlled the room. I totally controlled the room. When I lost my temper, everybody reacted to me. And you feel like you're going to win. You feel so much power when you're angry. Now, for those of you, I can see it in your eyes. A few of you are like, oh, no, no, that's not true for me. Then why do you get angry? Why do you keep getting angry? I can't help it. It just happens. That is not true. How do I know that's not true? Because if you're angry and you're carrying on and the phone rings and you pick it up and it's your boss or it's your neighbor, you go from being a crazy person to, hey, how you doing? Yeah, good to talk to you. I mean, in an instant. If someone knocks on the door when you're in the middle of your tirade, you don't run to the door and punch him in the face. You instantly change when you open the door and you see who it is. Anger is really something that we love. Because when we're angry, we give ourselves license to destroy those around us. The last thing that anger does is it feels like a protective shield. You get mad, what are you doing? Now nobody can hurt me. You bring it all you want. Now some of you do that by blowing up, but many of you, you know what you do when you do this? You shut down. You shut down. You're not talking anymore. You're done. You're simmering. You act like you're listening, but you're working your plan the whole time. You are sure that this anger is going to protect you from all the hurt that people are shooting at you. And you give yourself permission, we give ourselves permission to shut people out of our lives, because all we're doing is we're just protecting ourselves. We're protecting our heart. We don't want to get hurt anymore. And so we use that anger to be able to do those things. What's the Bible say about anger? What's the Bible say happens if you hang on to anger, if you use anger as a tool in your fights? Well, the first thing the Bible says is do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. I want to straighten something out real quickly about this. There's a number of you as couples or different situations in your life. One of you in the relationship loves to solve things right away. I mean, as soon as the problem comes up, let's deal with it right now. We're going to deal with it right now. We're about ready to walk into church. I don't care. We're going to fight all the way into church. We're going to do it right now. Anybody walks up to me, you can be part of the fight along with us, man. We're going to get this dealt with right now. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That's why we're going to do it. We're going to deal right now. God is on my side. We're going to do it right now. Then the other person is like, wait. We cannot solve this right now. Like, we have to either go to work or we have to do this. This is a bigger issue than this thing. And the other person's like, nope, we're going to do it right now. Sorry about that. For those of you who were the first person, you cannot use this passage. This is why. You miss something. You think that the way that you handle your wrath is you resolve the conflict. You think that if you've resolved the conflict, you've resolved the wrath. No. You don't have to resolve the conflict to resolve the wrath. You don't have to resolve the conflict to no longer be angry. Now, for some of you, that's all you need to hear today. Literally, I mean, this is a new principle for you. You think that the way you stop being angry is you take conflict out of your life. If I had a different boss, if I had different children, and if I had a different spouse, I wouldn't be mad. Like, I wouldn't. They are causing the problem. This conflict is causing the wrath. It's causing the anger. No, that's not true. It might be the thing that lit it inside of you. There is a conflict with someone. Conflict with someone is not the anger. Anger is your response to the conflict. When you get angry, it's your response to the conflict. The conflict doesn't make you angry. It doesn't have to make you angry. You don't have to stay angry over the conflict. Now, again, for some of you, I just told you why you're angry all the time. Because you believe this lie that other people make me angry. That's not true. You choose anger as your way of dealing with conflict. That's how you deal with conflict. So here's some things he says. Now, even though it feels like all of these things, but as you have already experienced, you are, and we're going to walk through these three things, you are inviting the devil into your life. Now, if you're not into the devil, you don't believe in the Bible, the principle still applies. The principle still applies. Those of you who watch us when you get angry, it's why we believe in the devil, right? We watch the way you explode and the way you treat people. You're like, whoa, that seems evil. You're inviting the devil into your life. Before I read the verse, this is what happens. There is someone, something that takes residence in your heart that takes over you. In other words, you are destroying the very people you love and you can't stop. You know this is not going to end well. But you can't stop. There is a voice. There is a way of thinking. There is a way of interacting with life that is overtaking you, and you can't stop it. The Bible says this, do not give the devil a foothold. In other words, don't give the devil a place in your heart where he goes, okay, now I can operate. I got you. I can get to you anytime I want to get to you. I have got you, and I'm going to do my work in your life. And when you hang on to anger, that's what happens. Number two, you're setting yourself on a path of weakness and regret. This is the opposite of the hammer. The hammer makes you feel strong. I don't know how many of you love to use hammers. I love to use hammers. And for the most part, the bigger the hammer, the better. You really feel strong. The opposite's true. You set yourself on a path of weakness and regret. The Bible says this, an angry person stirs up conflict, and a hot-tempered person commits many sins. Now, what the Bible's clearly telling you is, when you hang on to anger, you are headed to a place where you're going to commit many, many sins. You're going to break the things that are valuable in your life. It's a really cool picture. You think you're strong with the hammer, but you're actually going to use the hammer to break the things you love. The things you say you really want, the people you really want to make a difference with them and protect them, when you carry the hammer of anger, you're going to destroy those people. You're like, and here's the piece that's going to make perfect sense to you. You excuse it because you're angry. You actually say this to people. Well, I was mad. Well, I didn't mean it. I was just really mad. What? No. The Bible's really clear. You really meant it. You not only meant it, you love the anger. You hang on to that anger. You love that hammer. You don't get to carry the hammer into there and smash him and then go, oh, I'm sorry, I was really mad. It doesn't count. Oh, no, the Bible says that's where you're headed. The third thing is you're lying to your heart from within. You're lying to your heart from within. You see, you think that the vest is going to protect you from the outside. Your enemy is not on the outside. When you're angry, the enemy is on the inside. When you're angry, all of the danger is on the inside. It's not on the outside. It doesn't matter how many vests you put on. You're not going to be able to protect the lies that anger feeds. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. This verse changed my life. This verse dramatically changed my life. Because I was like many of you. I believed I only got mad because I was trying to make things right. I was furious because people were doing wrong things. They were hurting people. They were hurting people I loved. I was mad because they were doing wrong things. The way God taught me this is basketball. Pick up basketball games, you call your own fouls. And I would get fouled, and the other guy wouldn't, I would call it, and the other guy would say, no, it wasn't a foul. I'm exploding. You do that to me two or three times, man. I am furious. And I was playing basketball one day, and I fouled the guy, and he didn't call it. And I'm telling you, God's Spirit whispered to my spirit, why aren't you mad now? I never got mad when it didn't get fouled, called on me. When I was unrighteous, never made me mad a bit. You see, when you are mad, primarily, you're mad because you don't get what you want. And number two, even if you're mad for the right reason, that anger will never produce goodness. Even if you are 100% right, you're totally right, the actions that come out of that anger are going to hurt people. They will never produce the righteousness of God. And we're so filled with self-righteousness, so filled with anger because we are right. Okay, know this. That will not protect you. The exact opposite will happen. You will lie to yourself and lie to yourself and lie to yourself as to why it was okay what you did. So, the verse says, in your sin, when you get angry, don't sin. And deal with it. Deal with it before the sun goes down. Because if you don't, instead of protecting you, it's going to destroy you and the people around you. So how? How do I turn the anger into, how do I do that? Well, you turn the anger into godly action. This passage that we're working from, which is Ephesians, has a very simple principle. It's a put off and put on principle. So whenever you want to change something in your life, you know, how do I change it? How do I change it? Somebody write a book about this. I need to read a book. How do I change this? It's simpler than that. You do the exact opposite thing that you're doing. You simply go, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is not the fruit I want. This is not what God wants. What do I do different? How do I change that? You go the exact opposite direction of what you're doing. So we're just going to take one simple principle. One really simple principle, and apply that really quickly. How? The way you do that is you turn the anger into godly action. So whatever action you're planning on doing with your blanket and your hammer, nope, I'm going to go in the opposite direction of that. So we're going to apply it to listening. We're going to apply it to listening. You're in this conversation, we're going to apply it to listening. The Bible, this principle actually comes from a guy named Covey, the wording of it, but the principle comes from the Bible. It's this: seek first to understand, then seek to be understood. Seek first to understand, and then seek to be understood. Angry people always seek to be understood first, before they understand. They always seek to be understood first, instead of understanding. Here's a quote from Mr. Covey. Most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. Especially when you're angry. You can't wait till they shut up, because when they shut up, you are going to unload on them. Now, some of you are manipulative like me, so you do listen. You listen, and you go, ah, I like that ammunition, and I like that ammunition. Ooh, I'm glad you said that. You done? I'm going to bring back exactly what you said. What did I listen for? To understand? No, to build my argument. That's what we do when we're angry. This is what the Bible says. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear. I love that phrase. Everyone must be quick to hear. Any argument you're in, anytime you're ticked off, anytime you are struggling in an argument, just go, I need to be quick to hear. And you know what your flesh is going to do? Don't say that. Stop that. This is not the time for that. I don't want to hear that. Quick to hear. You see, because we think that hearing is a passive experience. I'm just sitting there. You're just sitting there listening, correct? It's a passive experience. Quick to hear is not a passive experience. Anything that you do quick, you have to put into it. You have to take action. You have to move forward. Quick to hear. Slow to speak and slow to become angry. And many of you are working very, very hard on being slow to speak and slow to become angry. You're working really hard on it. You're working, don't be mad, don't be mad, don't be mad, don't be mad. It will hugely help you if you first focus on quick to hear. No, the first thing I got to do is listen. That's what I got to do. Now, we're going to walk through four really quick things. I just use them as illustrations. So usually in an argument, you have a way that you respond. There's a way that you communicate. And here's a couple of ways you do that. One is you withdraw and avoid. In this room, a number of you are withdrawers and avoiders. You just pull back. You stop talking. What would be the opposite of that? The opposite of that would be, no, I'm going to be quick to hear. And from quick to hearing, I want to move in and engage the heart. Because the person is more important than being right. Super simple, super simple. If you're a couple, if two guys are fighting, I don't suggest this, all right? But as a couple, all you have to do is just reach out and grab their hand. If you are if you withdraw and avoid, all you need to do is reach out and grab their hand. Why? Because it's the exact opposite of what you feel like doing. It's the exact opposite. Don't do it so you can squeeze it really hard for some of you. Okay. Escalate. Some of you escalate. You get really loud. You win the argument because you just get so loud, or you're incredible at argument, and so you just crush the other person in the way that you do it. You know who I'm talking about. What do you do? What's the opposite of that? Take a time out with a specific plan to re-engage. Hey, I'm going to be back in 30 minutes. I'm going to be back in 2 hours. Here's when I'm going to be back. That's the opposite of escalating. You just... I'm going to say almost all of you negatively interpret. You negatively interpret. This is why you did that. Every fight you have, you go, oh yeah, and you did this because of this, and you don't care about me, and you love that person more than me, and you judge their motives all the time. And you are so convinced you're right. You really do think you're God. You think you can see inside their heart. You know exactly why they did what they did. What's the opposite of negatively interpreting? We practice no opinions at all. That's not good enough. That's not the opposite. The opposite is I always believe the best. There is an excellent reason why you did this and why you think this and why you came up with that crazy idea for why we're going to do this. My wife and I's thing is when I'm working on something, and most of the things I work on, many of the things I work on, I actually dream them up myself, right? I don't follow what somebody else said. I dream them up myself. And I have in my head how it's all going to work. And she'll walk right into the middle of the thing I'm working on and go, "Why are you doing it that way? You sure you want to do that?" Makes me furious. I mean, she's only doing that because she doesn't believe I'm the greatest builder in the world. That's the only, she just wants to tear me apart. 40 years she's been doing that. And for 40 years I have to go, "Time out, Chris. No way. There's no way she's trying to destroy me. There's no way. Wait, there's a good reason why she's doing what she's doing. I don't know what it is. I don't, but there's a good one." Invalidate. Invalidate you do without even knowing that you're doing it. Invalidate you do without even knowing you're doing it. Way deep down under your breath, you go, "That's ridiculous. They don't know what they're talking about. They have no idea what they're talking about. It's just driven by emotion. They're crazy." You just, what they say and who they are, you ignore them as if what their perspective is and who they are, it doesn't count. What's the opposite? "I may not agree, but I will honor you above myself. I will honor you above myself." So, this communication thing, that sounds great. That really does sound great. I can see it in your eyes. Great. But how do you do that when you're mad? How do you do that when you're angry? Like, how would that happen? You see, because they're attacking my heart. How do I not put these things on? When they're attacking my heart, how do I protect my heart? There's nobody's going to protect my heart. Nobody. I've got to protect my own heart. Nobody's going to protect my heart. There's a man named Jesus. And if you know him, he has promised you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. There's a man named Jesus who, if you know him, said, "He that is in you," talking about his spirit, "is greater than he that's in the world." And you're convinced that the person you're mad at is Satan. You're convinced that the person you're mad at, their whole goal is to destroy your life, and that's why you have to be angry. That's why you got to deal with it this way. And Jesus says, "I'll never leave you or forsake you. I will protect your heart." That same verse in James says this, "In humility, receive the word implanted in you." What that means is surrender to the Spirit of God at that point. The Spirit of God is more powerful than your anger. The Spirit of God is more powerful than the person who's trying to hurt you. You overcome anger before the sun goes down by submitting to the Spirit of God and what's true before the sun goes down. We're going to sing a song called Oceans. And the words in the song are, "Take me out to this place where I have to trust you, and you guys dream up big things. I'm going to change the world. That's what I'm going to do. Woo! Let's go!" Put your hands down. Because most of the time, where Jesus takes you and where God takes you is into a fight. That's where you've got to trust Him, that He will take care of your heart so you can practice not destroying the people you love, but learning and growing and you being changed from the fight into someone who can truly love.